This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Let me go to Michael, who's actually live in New York as we speak. Michael, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good, getting back to homeschooling. More common in your neck of the woods, you're from New York, but it's not as common here in Ireland. Well, it would have been years ago, but not so much now. But it's starting to grow again. Would you homeschool?
I would not homeschool because I really think that it affects the child's social skills big time, because it forms, like, I don't condone bullying, but, you know, if a child gets a little bit picked on and stuff like that, it builds character to them. They know how to deal with it. They know how to spot it. So when they go into the workplace, I feel like they're, you know, more socially suited to it.
So we're not teaching the skills of integration and socialization and all those other skills they're kind of missing out on.
I think so. It's very hard to, if you're homeschooling and you're at home, you know, in the house all day long with the child, I think it's very hard to immerse them into that setting. Of course, they might have cousins and stuff like that, but I just think the school setting just gives them
structure. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, sorry. Can I just go back to Maureen very quickly? Maureen, Michael makes a really good point there about socialization, integration, you know, being part of a team. You learn all that in school.
Do you?
What do you do?
Do you today? Yeah, today, in today's society, do you learn it? You certainly don't if you have a different opinion. You're ostracized.
Maureen, I'm talking about...
No, come on, let's be truthful now here.
I'm being truthful. Most kids get on really well. But hang on. There's always going to be elements of bullying. There's always going to be elements of people being silenced. There's always going to be elements of people being ostracized. But generally speaking, in a school of 1,000 kids, most of them get on reasonably well with each other. And they create teams. There's a hierarchy. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff goes on. It's a team building stuff. It just happens.
But the children are being homeschooled. Do people not think that these people actually go out? They go out on a weekend. They may go to, you know, discos that are on. They have friends. It's just that they're being educated in a different place. Mm. They are still socializing. And I believe that those are the people who will have the better skill than what's being sent into the indoctrination camps to sit down, shut up, don't discuss, don't ask questions, just listen. That's where the problem is.
Michael, there is a problem at the moment, Michael, that many parents, not all, are not happy about some of the stuff that's being taught to them in school. I suppose the liberal notions and ideologies that have been taught in schools. And that's why homeschooling is being popular.
I get that, but I do think, and I don't agree with all that, but if you take a group of 1,000 kids, they all got showed like, oh, you could be this, that, the other. I would say 90 or 80, maybe, I'm just making a number up, it's not a statistic. I would say maybe 80% of the kids are just going to, you know, grow up to be, you know, marry a woman, a man. You know, they're going to just live like a traditional life. I think a small percentage of the kids are really going to be affected by that. I think if they're gay, they're gay. If they're a lesbian, they're a lesbian. It's from when they've been a child. They haven't been influenced by it. And if they want to transition into something, either something's going on in their head or it's something that they, you know,
I did have somebody on the air there a while ago, and they said, I don't want my kids sitting in a class where the teacher turns around to, you know, a 7-year-old boy and says, by the way, you know, Johnny, you can be a girl if you want to. You know what I mean? So that's what people say to me, that they don't want that in schools.
Yeah. But do you think that Johnny will play on his mind and think, oh, maybe I could be a girl?
The major report in the UK, the CAS report, did talk about this. And they talked about the idea of affirmation. You know, in other words, you know, if somebody keeps telling you something is possible, you will believe it's possible.
You'll end up believing it. Yeah, and I do get that.
I'm not saying, you know, that teachers got to make them people do things.
I do think it's wrong when they're teaching this kind of stuff at school, because I do think that the kids will eventually figure it out themselves, you know. But I think
particularly in primary school, I think their minds are too young for that kind of information, probably.
Well, so I know I live over here in New York, but I did primary school in Ireland. And I remember in sixth class, we had the birds and the bees. It was an evening class. It was like a 20-minute or a half-hour session. They told us about the lady parts. They told us about the male parts, a couple other little things. That was it.
Yeah, biology. The basic biology.
20 years
ago. Yeah.
Yes.
But I was the same. I'm older than you, Michael. When I went to school, even in secondary school, that's all we got. We got page 63 of the biology book, which was the male and female reproductive system, and there were drawings. And I remember we used to get really excited when we were doing it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had a sneak peek of it at the beginning of the school year and stuff. Couldn't wait for that class talking about that.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, listen, thank you, by the way. Enjoy your day in New York City. By the way, is it where you are, Michael, at the moment, is the snow up to your knees?
It was the other day. We got anywhere in the area between 20 to 30 inches. But all the roads are clear for the most part, and the temperature has been up the last 2 days, so it's starting to melt.
Oh, good, because it was pretty bad. Don't get me wrong. I was in New York when it snowed in February, but not as bad as I seen the other day on the news. God, it was bad.
Yeah, it's quite unusual. We've had our winters have been trending good lately, but yeah, we've got a lot of snow this year.
Yep. Okay, well, listen, Michael, have a good day. Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Bye, Niall.
Bye. Let me go to Nuala. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. I was just reading a piece from The Murder Machine by Patrick Pearse, and he's talking about that the healthy life begins with freedom. And he said that there's no freedom in the schools that he was talking about at his time, because it was the English type of education. And he said there's no freedom from the child, there's no freedom for the teacher, there's no freedom for the school itself. He says young souls, young minds, young bodies demand the largest measure of individual freedom, consistent with common good, freedom to move and grow in their natural lines, freedom to live their own lives.
Right.
See? And I think if you talk to any teacher, they have to sit, they have to go by a certain curriculum.
That's the word, yeah.
And, curriculum, they have to put reports, they have to do this, they have to do that, they have to spend more time writing out reports, because when I was on on the council, I was on a board of, it was a community school, but the teachers spent half their time writing reports because they were part of a Jewish school. And it's like, I mean, who gets taught at all? You know, like, surely each child has a different intake and how they can absorb information.
Education is a blunt instrument. It's there for everybody. And it's one way of teaching, and it doesn't suit everybody. I get that. And that's where I can see the advantage in homeschooling, because you know your own child better. But in saying that, there's also disadvantages too, isn't there?
Well, I don't know. I know a few people are doing it. I know a girl, a lady, you know, that's doing it. And she lived in Australia for a while, but she's back at home and they bought a bit of land. So the kids are out part of the day out riding ponies and growing vegetables and doing other things. So they have great freedom. Like, say, what happens now is the kid is left into preschool at half 8 in the morning. He's there till about 2 or 3 o'clock. Then the parents mightn't be collecting him till about, so he's after school after that. So he's a whole day, long day, where he has to be sitting or standing or whatever. And he can't even go out in the yard and run around. Mm. Can't do anything.
Nice.
It's like, I mean, that's like a straitjacket. I mean, that's
I've often wondered, do you think in 100 years' time, we'll be looking back and saying, do you remember we used to send children to a building for 8 hours a day? Nowadays, we just stick a chip in their head, and that's it. And everything, all the knowledge they need is on the chip.
But like I say, I was just looking at something in Denmark, where small kids, they have kind of schools where they're bringing them into the forest, and they can be climbing up trees and jumping in pools of water.
You're not allowed to do
that
anymore,
like
Nuala. Nuala, I used to go down to St. Anne's Park with the school, right, when I was a young fella. St. Anne's Park, which is a beautiful park in Dublin. It's the second biggest park, I think, in the country. And it's a beautiful park. And we used to climb the trees. We used to do all that. They now have, like, this kind of meshing around the trees to stop kids from climbing it. And I said, what's that all about?
Because somebody'd sue them.
Probably,
you know, there's
people
and they're just, there's parents and it's so, like if a kid falls in the yard and broke his arm, they have to sue the school. That's stupid. And they can't play even games because, you know, was there something lately about some fella that fell over against something and he broke his arm in a basketball thing? And the parents were suing. I think they got 45,000.
Oh, was that the one where he climbed? Was that the one where his basketball went into a building site and he climbed over the fence into a building site where it said, please keep out private property? And he climbed over, fell off the fence, broke his leg, and his parents sued and got money. And I said, what are you doing? You shouldn't have been climbing over it in the first place, you clown.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's part of all growing up. Different things happen, you know. But there's kind
of... So I used to do it. We used to climb into, say, at St. Vincent's Hospital. Had a massive big wall. It was about 16 foot high. And we used to climb up on it. And if people knew what we used to do, I swear to God, nowadays, I can only imagine what the outcry was. So we used to climb over. We used to go to the back of the hospital where they throw out all the old syringes, right? And we'd get the syringes and like there'd be 20, 60s, 80s and 100 mil syringes, right? And like our mates would be going, look at me, I've got a 100 mil one. And we used to fill them with water and squirt them at each other. And we'd go in there and rob all these old syringes, right? And they were all used. And I don't know how many times I fell off the wall. I have a scar on one of my legs from where I fell off the wall, right? I'm not saying people should be doing that and kids should be doing that, but it just goes to show you the way we lived then compared to the way we live now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, this is a kind of a thing that has come in, crept in. They sue for this and sue for that and sue for the other. You know, that's a kind of a crazy thing. And that makes all these different shows that work for children, makes them so expensive to run because the insurance is so high because of all these possibilities. Like, I mean, I live down by the river now, and every second person that's gone down has a visor jacket on. Like, well, you want to be an awful idiot just to kind of fall in. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Well, do me a favour.
I mean, what's that about?
Well, hang on, I need to go to Dave in a second. Before I go to Dave, I've just got to go to Kelly as well. Kelly, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you, Niall?
I'm good, Kelly. Kelly, do you think homeschooling is beneficial for children, or is it a disadvantage?
Well, I think it's going to become beneficial for children. I think what we have done here in terms of the redevelopment of the curriculum has destroyed our education system. We had a very good, you know, even the NCCA and our politicians would admit our 1999 primary curriculum was very good. It produced very good outcomes for kids. And now they've completely altered it, moved away from the prescriptive curriculum that was there to this very broad outcome-based curriculum that leaves the door wide open to anything. Mm. And it removes the accountability and the need for consultation with parents.
Well, this is what I'm concerned about, the lack of consultation with parents constantly all the time in relation to changing the curriculum.
Exactly. And it'll be less so now because now it's so open, wide open for anything.
What's more concerning about this Convention of Education and the National Conversation, the website I'm looking at the moment, is that, you know, it only has 30 parents, 30 children, 30 school employees, but it has 60 education stakeholders.
Exactly.
Right?
Who are these stakeholders?
I'm not going to start. I could start naming names if I want to at the end. That would get me into trouble. But I can tell you now who I know they are. They're all NGOs. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And what parents need to start asking themselves is, what do they believe the purpose of education is? And that's what we should be having the conversation about, because I think the vast majority of parents think the purpose of education is for their children to, you know, literacy, numeracy, you know, that the
it's not just academia.
Our kids.
Yeah, no, it's not
academia.
It's
life skills. The whole child development, yes, but what the you have to look at the background literature that the NCCA is relying upon. They have fundamentally shifted the purpose of education to education for radical social transformation. They've made education into their political project. Nobody wants that.
Mm.
This is going to affect...
I mean, third-level education always had that problem, where there was some level of...
That's third level.
Yeah.
That's third level.
But now it seems to be creeping into secondary schools. Yeah.
It's not just secondary schools. You can go all the way down to the STAIR framework, and it's there. It's the whole way through now. Now, kids, you start very young. Kids do not have the ability to think about what they're being taught. You are... indoctrinating. It's not education anymore. It's indoctrination.
But I did make that point to Maureen, there's always been a level of indoctrination. I mean, if we go back 40 years ago in Ireland, it was, you know, catechism, the Catholic Church was the level of indoctrination. That's all kind of changed. There's still an ethos there, but it's kind of changed now. So that level of indoctrination by religion is not there anymore, or certainly not as much as it was. So there's
well,
always...
that's not there anymore because people took an issue with being their kids being indoctrinated if those were not their personal beliefs. Mm-hmm. So we've changed our education system to say, well, that needs to stay within the Patriots program, and the national curriculum is neutral to a large degree. Now, the redeveloped curriculum has changed that. They've altered that now, and they've said the national curriculum is going to shape the dispositions and values of our children instead of the Patriots program. But now they're back to indoctrinating. So if people, you know, took issue with the church indoctrinating kids years ago, they need to take issue with this as well. It's the same thing.
Just a different ideology.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, but stay there, Kelly, for a second, because Dave, sorry, you've been waiting ages, Dave, and I'm going to come back to Kelly in a second, but you've listened to what Kelly said, you know, that the education has changed. There's a lot of indoctrination into different types of ideologies or thought processes that's going into children nowadays rather than there would have been 10, 15 years ago. Would you homeschool your children, by the way, based on that?
I would rather nail my 2 feet to a piece of timber than homeschool, not going to lie. I don't have the temperament for it.
Yeah, but you probably would.
Listen, we had to try and do some primary school stuff during COVID, and I wanted to throw myself out a window, okay? I'm not the kind of person... Listen, I can bring my young fellow aside, I can teach him to weld, I can teach him some carpentry, I can do all that kind of stuff with him. I cannot do homeschooling, and I know myself. We all have things we're good at, we all have things we're bad at, and I would definitely be very bad at homeschooling.
But does it concern you how much the curriculum is changing, particularly over the last 10 years? Does that change concern you?
But specifically, because like here's the thing, right? Like I have, say, my eldest is in TY, which is a fucking scam, by the way. If any other parents out there have the kids in TY.
No, hang on. I'm not going to let you say that, because TY in some schools is a scam. But in other schools, it's great.
You, Niall. It's a money pit. I'm just having the crack with you.
Go on.
It's actually very good. They're doing work experience.
But it depends on the school. No, there are some schools TY is a waste of time. But there are other schools who do a really good job and give the kids loads of projects and things to do. I find it brilliant. My son went to TY. He was really quiet before he went to TY. He really came out of his shell when he went to TY.
No, my eldest is in TY. To get into TY in his school, you actually have to do an interview, because they say, listen, if you're a quiet kid who doesn't like being part of projects, it's probably not for you. And it is. It's been brilliant. I'm just bitching because it's had a bit of an impact on my bank account. That's all.
Getting back to what Kelly is talking about, you know, this change in the curriculum where we've shifted from one indoctrination, which is religion, I suppose, to a different indoctrination, you know, which is the idea.
But see, and like, I hear this.
Gender ideology and all that kind of stuff, telling kids they can change their sex if they want to, all that nonsense.
Right, but look, I hear Kelly's points, and look, she obviously knows her shit way more in this regard than I do, so I'm not going to claim to be an expert, but like, I've talked to my uncle about this. I'm like, do you learn about this stuff in school, or do you learn about blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah? He's like, literally no teachers talk to him about this kind of stuff. You know, they do stuff like, hey, if someone's different, maybe don't be a dick and don't bully him.
Yeah, that's no harm.
That's about it. That's about it. Like, you hear all this stuff about, like, you know, they're all going to be told they can be trans if they want to on a Monday, and they can be a jellyfish on the Thursday if they like. But like, I've spoken to friends of mine whose kids are in different schools. I've spoken to friends about it, and like, they're like, we don't talk about this kind of stuff.
Let me just ask Kelly about that, because Kelly, I actually spoke to my own stepdaughter about it. She's 16. And I've asked her, you know, I always ask her, like, what do they teach? You know, and she was telling me about sex education recently. They were teaching her in a school because she's at that age now. And it was all kind of normal stuff, you know what I mean? And there was nothing kind of dubious in anything that because I wouldn't put up with it anyway. But there was nothing dubious in there in relation to, you know, you can change your gender if you want to, or, you know, or whatever it happens to be. So I'm not, as much as I'm hearing it from people, Kelly, I'm not experiencing it. And Dave said he's not experiencing it either. So, is there a bit of an exaggeration going on?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point, and it's worth discussing. I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old as well, and they go to two different secondary schools, and their experience is completely different. One of them has a couple of teachers who are very gung-ho in pushing this controversial stuff. The other kid has none of it in his school. So right now it is, but you have to remember, we're at the very beginning of the enactment of this new curriculum. It's only beginning right now to be put into the schools. And a lot of the older teachers are not for this, that have been teaching a certain way for a very long time. They are not for this, so they're not teaching it. But what's happening simultaneously as curriculum reforms is the teacher colleges are teaching the up-and-coming teachers in the same way that they're indoctrinating the children. So when those teachers come out and they enter the system, you better believe this is going to be a lot more prevalent.
Yeah, and Dave, I understand that because I was only listening to an interview in relation to a whistleblower from one of the third-level educations, and he was talking about, look, third-level education has always been about a level of activism, you know, and radicalization, mm-hmm. but it's got a lot worse, Dave, according to him. You can't even question it anymore. You know, if you don't believe there can be 20 genders, there's something wrong with you. All of this, and this kind of level of activism.
Yeah.
And I suppose the point Kelly's making is those school teachers who are now in third level education, who are now going to move into schools in the next 4 or 5 years, are going to be more radicalized than the school teachers we currently have there.
Yeah, and look, I don't doubt that. I mean, the pendulum has basically swung in the opposite direction ideologically. You know, a lot of people leave, you know, they leave college, they're, you know, flag waving lefties, then they enter the real world and they get a job, and that, you know, for the majority of people kind of knocks the shit out of you and makes you realize, oh, the world doesn't work the way I think it works. You know, I better adapt. That's fair enough, you know? I mean, but like, there is like a level of hysteria around, like the recently, like I was talking to someone, they got an email from the school department of education, something like that. It had to do with like kind of not necessarily sex education stuff, but it was stuff, you know, that was going to be taught in primary schools, and people were losing their minds. And then when they actually looked at what they were teaching them, they were just, these are the correct names for your body parts. This is what consent is. These are the situations you may find yourself in that are not okay. This is what you should do, and these are the people you should tell about these things. And considering the history we have with, you know, not safeguarding children, I don't necessarily really have an issue with that. Now,
I don't think most people would have an issue with that.
No, but if you're going to be bringing
that,
like,
but that's not what Kelly's talking. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's not what Kelly's talking about. I don't want some teacher telling, you know, an 8-year-old in third class or fourth class, you know, if you want to change your gender, you can, by the way. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And a teacher that'll come in who's afraid to refer to a boy as a boy and a girl as a girl and refer to them all as thems and theys. And I was only talking to somebody recently, a friend of mine, whose child is in a school in the UK, and they have now said that all students are referred to as they and them and not as he and her and him. And her kid was in trouble recently because he said something smart or something. I don't know, he got suspended. And she said, I was on the phone to the principal and she kept referring to him as they. And I said, he's not a they, yeah. He's a he.
See, that's...
And she said, no, that's our policy. That's our policy. I mean, that's bullshit. That's a bullshit policy.
That, look, that is nonsense. You know,
that's happening, Dave. That is actually happening.
And it's our jobs as parents to fight back against that kind of stuff. You know, and I agree. And that kind of stuff should not be in primary schools. Maybe the end of secondary school, maybe as a discussion, as a thought experiment. You know, when they're a bit more older and a bit more savvy.
Yeah,
and,
when they're critical, you know, thinking. When they can critically think.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, but I do agree with Kelly. I don't want an 8-year-old being told he can change his gender because he can't.
Yeah, no, of course. You know what I mean? Nobody wants that. Listen, my youngest struggles with he and she at the moment because he lives in a house that's only dudes, okay? Mm. So, yeah, I don't want him, I don't want him learning that kind of stuff from primary school. And, look, I am not for this kind of shit.
Look, don't get me wrong. What you said earlier on was a good point, and I'd say that to Kelly too. I have no issue, you know, with teachers teaching young people that, you know, when they're talking, you know, in appropriate, age-appropriate ways to, say, 8 or 9-year-olds, you know, boys and girls get married, they have children, yada, yada, yada. You know, and sometimes boys might be with boys and sometimes girls might be with boys, and that's okay too. I have no problem with them saying that to a child.
Kelly,
I don't think you'd have an issue with that either. That's kind of okay stuff because you're teaching them not to judge other people.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a line in all of this, obviously. What they're doing is they're playing a linguistic sleight of hand with the stuff they're putting into the curriculum. They're saying it's about inclusion and equality and all of that. Nobody has an issue with that. Let's be honest about that. There's very few people that are, you know, really genuinely want anybody excluded because of their gender or their sexuality or anything of that. But that's not what they're talking about. That's not what they're actually doing. Those are the words they're using, but they're doing something very different.
I know what you're saying. They're bringing in the inclusion, but what they're doing is excluding people who are not part of the inclusion, if you know what I mean. In other words, exactly. by saying we're not going to refer to people as boys and girls anymore and only theys and thems, but then you're excluding the majority of people.
Well, this is the thing about the Beaconalta, the new anti-bullying policy, is that what it does is it defines bullying as perceived, not intended. So if the person being bullied perceives it as bullying, that's enough to qualify it as bullying. It doesn't matter whether the other person intended it to be bullying or not. So essentially what that will do in the case of gender identity is that if a child refuses to refer to one of their peers as, you know, their chosen gender or their pronouns on, you know, a conscience-based objection to that, they can be labeled a bully and disciplined. And that's a mechanism of coercion. That's not an anti-bullying policy.
When we did see, what was it, a couple of weeks ago there, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties were trying to suggest, which, by the way, incorrectly was misinformation, that schools have an obligation legally to refer to children as their chosen pronouns. Now, the Department of Education since come out and said that's not true at all. It's not a legal obligation under the Equality Act. But schools can't make up their own policies. But it was enough to create a chilling effect. Unfortunately, I've run right out of time. Thank you to everybody who got involved in that topic. We should be back with you after the break.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.